You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government must move faster to close gender and ethnic pay gaps if it wants to help people who are struggling with low wages due to discrimination, says Mind the Gap. On Tuesday in Parliament, the government published its response to the Education and Workforce Select Committee inquiry into pay transparency. The national pay gap is 9.1%, but it is a lot higher in many companies. On average, it means that for every dollar a Pākehā man earns, a Pākehā woman earns 89 cents, a Māori woman 81 cents, and a Pacifica woman 75 cents. I spoke to Jo Cribb, founder of Mind the Gap, about the issue. So earlier this week, we saw a survey come out that showed that New Zealand had some pretty dismal gender inequality in the workplace compared to our neighbouring countries. What do these findings show us?
So it was a really interesting study that came out of Japan, of all countries, done by a big charitable foundation there. And what a group of researchers had done is that they had looked at every stock exchange listed company. So they're the really big companies across Asia Pacific. So New Zealand was there, Australia was there, Singapore, Hong Kong, Japan, and then compared they had sort of an index of what gender equality would look like and compared the organisations across it. And they came up with a list of like the top 10 best companies in the Asia Pacific. And sadly, only one was from New Zealand. It was zero. I think we should absolutely celebrate that zero made it to the list, but where are the rest of them? They were mainly all Australian and Singaporean countries. And then they went by country and compared them to the norm. And that's where we started to get really shabby. So if you read the New Zealand section, it basically says New Zealand's got this, you know, we've got a female prime minister, we've got a fairly gender equal parliament. We talk a lot about gender issues, but once we get into our corporates, we are quite low on the gender index. And what was missing was pay transparency and plans to address gender pay gap. So very few of our organisations that are listed had any information about how they were addressing pay inequality in the organisations. Very few had paid parental leaves that were over and above what the government provided, yet comparatively across all these other corporates, that was a given thing, right, that they would look after particularly women or men who wanted to take maternity leave. We were also pretty shabby on disclosures around protections around sexual harassment in the workplace, which really surprised me, right? There weren't, our corporates were not making statements about how important it was to have safe workplaces at the same level as the counterparts across Asia Pacific. And also sort of other policies were missing around what are we, like supply chain and human rights. So what it said is that maybe our organisations have them, but they just don't share them, or maybe they don't have them. And because what if you did have these things, they're really important things to signal to potential investors and potential employees. Why would you, if you had them, why would you not share them? So these are the kind of questions it was asking. We think we have, you know, that we take equality fairly, but all these measures by this international standard, we looked really shabby. It was a bit embarrassing that Australia came out really high and we looked like, you know, the sad little cousin trailing behind.
Yeah, so on Tuesday, the government responded to the inquiry into pay transparency. What was this response? What kind of recommendations did it make?
Yeah, so just to make the link between the two, so one of the key recommendations from this international report was New Zealand is one of the main indicators of gender equality is how serious big business takes the gender pay gap. And big businesses who take the gender pay gap seriously publish their gender pay gap and they publish their plans. Like they're really upfront about what they're doing. In many countries, that is compulsory. Like it's considered incredibly important to do because that's the kind of information you want if you're a potential employee. That's the kind of information you want if you're a consumer, like if you're picking which bank. And it also is really important that pay gaps within organisations are addressed, right? Because this is about who gets what, about money in people's pockets. So the report made the recommendation that we were lagging because we don't have that piece of legislation. Even Japan does, and Japan has a very poor gender record, but they have pay transparency legislation. So there'd been a select committee inquiry into pay transparency. So that's the requirement of businesses to share their data around pay and the gender pay gap and perhaps pay gaps for Māori and Pacific workers. A big inquiry, and if you look on the website, you can see all the papers and submissions, and it was very detailed. And earlier in the year, the select committee came out and said, if New Zealand wants to be a modern country in comparison with others, if we really care about equality and fairness in our workplaces, we need to put these measures in place. So the select committee recommendation was really, really strong. Now, the government has 3 months to respond, and that day came on Tuesday. So they tabled in the House. This is the government's response to the select committee. And basically they've said, yeah, we agree, pay transparency is really important. We want all our workers to be paid fairly. And then they gave some ideas about what they were going to do about it. And I'll leave it to your listeners to decide. Obviously, I've got a bit of an opinion and I was incredibly disappointed. They'd like to set up an advisory group to look into it. They'd like to get some more data. And they'd like to do some education. So their recommendations, I would say, had no teeth, right? So for an issue they think the government thinks is incredibly significant, the corresponding approaches didn't seem very significant. But that doesn't mean they're not going to do more. And I guess we welcome at least that the point is made that this is a real issue. It matters. I'd think from a mind the gap perspective, we're just disappointed that the what they were saying initially probably won't work. It won't actually address the issues, and it's a very, I guess, slow approach. We're very mindful that cost of living is biting, it's winter, and every cent counts for so many people. And lots of people, those cents that count are lower than they should be because of pay gaps.
So what would make for the most efficient and transparent pay reporting scheme?
Yeah, so across the world, many, many countries have pay transparency regimes. So the EU has even put it in as a directive, you know, across the all European nations. It's, the UK's had a pay transparency law for nearly a decade. Australia's got some pay transparency, South Africa, Japan, like most countries, a lot of states in the states have pay transparency. So we're kind of behind the eight ball, and it's the research shows that once an organisation has to publicly report its pay gaps, so put it on its website or submit the data to a public database that we could all look at, the pay gap will drop in New Zealand. If what has happened internationally happens here, the pay gap will drop by about 20 to 40% for women. Now, we calculate that's up to sort of $35 a week for someone who's earning the median wage. That's a significant benefit. So, and why that happens is very simply is that there's a law that says organisations over a certain size have to report, have to make public their pay gaps. That simple. All it involves is a database and organisations submitting their pay gap, like a number. It's pretty simple, the actual mechanics of it. Where that becomes interesting then is if the organisations, our businesses want to put good numbers in there, they're going to have to do some work in their organisations. They're going to have to look where their pay gaps are. They're going to look at who gets promoted, who gets hired, who gets overtime, who gets bonuses, and really had a hard look at their practices and whether they are actually fair, and who, you know, and if there are patterns there by workers. Are women less likely to be promoted? Are Māori and Pacific workers less likely to be promoted, which means they earn less? And really what the legislation would do would trigger a whole lot of behaviour in organisations to address pay gaps. So that's really efficient, right? From a policy perspective, it's easy. You just require reporting. You just have a public database. So we could all look at it. If we were going to apply for a job, we go and look at the pay gaps and go, do we want to work there? Am I going to get treated fairly? And we can make really good decisions then about who we want to work for or not, or whose power we want to buy or who we want to bank with. So it's really powerful information for us, but also the trigger will be for the organisations, because many of them would not have looked and many of them won't have plans in place to address their pay gaps. So we should see the government was to announce this change immediately, like starting to get more money in people's pockets pretty fast. That's got to be a good thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. And as New Zealand is pretty far behind other Western countries when it comes to transparency and reducing gender and ethnic pay gaps, given how ethnically diverse New Zealand is, does the current government have the opportunity to change international trends with strong intersectional legislation?
Absolutely, utterly and totally. Like, we've kind of, we're way behind the ball game on our gender, right? It's fairly well established as business practice, as sort of legislative practice across the country, across the world. And you think of some of our organisations that, say, have employees in Australia or have employees in Europe, they're having to report anyway, and then they come back to New Zealand and don't. Like, it's nuts, right? What we would do if we make our legislation not only gender, but gender and ethnicity, we would be the first in the world to do that, which is really exciting because we can lead the way. And I think we do pride ourselves on trying to be as progressive as we can. And this would be a real marker to do it. We would then, I think, if we would start to lead on the global stage. I think we would see other countries look to us and do similar things in theirs. The UK government has had a discussion paper go through around ethnic reporting, so they're looking into it, but no one that we know of has done it. We could be that person. How exciting that would be. So going from sort of last place and looking pretty shabby to leading the world is exactly where I think New Zealand should be.
That was Jo Cribb, founder of Mind the Gap, speaking on New Zealand's gender and ethnic pay gaps. On Monday, Mind the Gap is launching a petition called Not Another Winter, where they're once again pushing for the government to act as we face a cost of living crisis, especially among women, heading into the brunt of winter. So look out for that one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.